From the features staff at the Columbus Dispatch, this is Life in the 614.
Hi, and welcome to Life in the 614, the official lifestyle podcast for the features department at the Columbus Dispatch, coming to you every week. If it sounds like fun, we'll be talking about it. I'm Erica Thompson, features reporter at the Dispatch, and today we are chatting with Crowder, also known as David Crowder, a Christian artist with a new album out. He's on the Imagination Tour with the band Mercy Me, and you can catch them at Nationwide Arena at 7 p.m. on Saturday, October 5th.
Thank you so much for giving us a call. We are really looking forward to having you in Columbus for your show. And I listened to your new album, I Know a Ghost, which was really, really good. And I think a lot of folks are talking about how eclectic it is. Like, you hear a little bit of country and rock and blues and bluegrass and just everything. What really struck me were, like, the hip-hop beats, like, that sound like that you made them on a drum machine. So can you talk a little bit about your approach to the sound with this project?
Absolutely. I did this one totally different than all the other ones I've recorded. I started like a hip-hop producer would, with just beats. I hit up a bunch of pals that make what in my opinion would be really great hip-hop music, and they would send me like Dropbox files or however they wanted to share files, like a folder with 4, 5 to 12 songs at most with like a beat idea, so like a verse and a chorus kind of idea. And here's the deal, I've been watching all these documentaries, and it's like when you're seeing like just a news clip or something of like, I don't know, Jay-Z in the studio, and you know they're just some dude sitting at the control desk and he's scrolling through some beats, and all of a sudden a beat will happen, and then bam, there's like a hit song that just happens in the room. You see Jay-Z light up and it's like all of a sudden he's flowing, and I was super jealous of that. I'm like, that's a way to go in and write a song. And I thought, I wonder if this kind of music, since I'm squishing all this other stuff in the same place at the same time, I wonder if my love for hip-hop and rap can fit in the same space, and maybe the songwriting approach would stretch me in a way that I haven't been stretched before. And sure enough, I had more fun writing this record than I've had in ever. It was amazing, because the song, you'd just scroll through the deal, something would hit you, and all of a sudden the song would pop out, and it's kind of like, in my experience, it would be picking up a different guitar. You know, you're sitting around playing on one guitar, you put that one down and pick up another one, next one, say something different than the other one says, and all of a sudden the song comes out of it that wouldn't have come out of the other one. And that's what it felt like to me. It's like the atmosphere of the thing, I guess the core of the song and the atmosphere of it was already present, and you just sort of filled in the blanks. So I loved it.
Yeah, that is so cool. And I also wanted to talk to you about the title of the album, I Know a Ghost, because I think from like people from the outside looking in, when they think of a Christian artist, they might not equate ghost with faith. Like, ghost right. Can be like scary or sinister. So talk to me about like your vision for that.
Totally. I love language, and there's a colloquialism. Like, if you're talking about church music, you know, I could say I go to a church that's got like contemporary music, like sounds like pop music from there, and then you could say like I go to a church and it's kind of rowdy, it's got that Holy Ghost music. And I never had experience where a ghost outside of a context that like let me have the handles, that once you took the handles away of that context, all of a sudden you're like, wait a second, you're saying a ghost? What do you mean ghost? and I thought, all of a sudden, having grown up in church, all of a sudden I was like, this is a different story that I grew up in. And the proposition is that the ghost of God is accessible, and it was there in the beginning, in Genesis, right in the beginning of the story of creation. It's like Spirit of God roamed above the void, and you're like, that's kind of creepy. I mean, and then here's the story of Jesus comes along, and he's like sitting with his pals right before he's, you know, going to go to the cross, and that's the part of the story that I had been familiar with all the time. But then when you sit and think, he's sitting with his buds, and he's like, okay, listen, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to leave with you something. It's going to be my ghost. That's like a creep. That's a different slant to the story than I grew up with. And so once I hit on that, I had already had the intention of I've done 3 records as a solo artist now, and they were kind of Trinitarian in my idea of thought. It was like first one was going to be sort of son-oriented, father-oriented, or first one was father-oriented, then son-oriented, then I was going to do a Holy Ghost record or Holy Spirit. And when I was just mulling that over, I was like, oh my gosh, this is a completely different take than where I saw it coming. And that's what I love about making music, is when you discover stuff that is firing you up and you're hoping that it's going to translate, your experience will translate to other people that you probably are connecting with because they have a similar experience in life and similar outlook on life. And so hopefully that whole thing that blew my mind is blowing some folks' mind too in the same way.
Yeah, and I think it's really great for people to hear you talk about this, like people who don't normally listen to church music and hear that, like, you can laugh at things that sound kind of crazy like in the Bible, you know what I mean? So that they don't have an impression that you're like this stuffy person. But, you know, speaking of your faith, I did want to ask you about a line on Wildfire that really struck me. How wide are the arms of grace? And so I wanted to ask you, like, what has grace looked like in your own life as a result of your faith?
Well, I could probably laugh about a bunch of this stuff because, man, if not for people that have been around me that have offered and shown me forgiveness, you know, I think that's the thing that we don't experience a lot of. Most times, if we're done wrong, then our natural reaction is to them, you know, get them back or to be sad or internalize it and hold on to that thing, that moment of pain, that stuff that, and then that controls us, that holds us back from everything we're supposed to be and could be and how we could be outwardly focused instead of inwardly focused. And I've just had amazing people around me that when I've messed up and done something completely stupid, they've said, you know what, this is not your future tense, this is right where we are right now, and story's wide open, you know, it's gonna go anywhere. And a comeback story is the best kind of story to tell. It's one we can all get behind and root for. And I think most of the time we find ourselves with a voice in our own self that it's really tough to get a voice above. And when you have great people around you, their voice can get louder. And when it's full of grace and forgiveness and redemption and all those things that we hope to bring to other people and we rarely succeed at, it inspires you to push beyond where your present tense is if you've had a failure and loss or, you know, disappointment. I think that the skin of what I'm talking about and my quote unquote church music is God and people. It's the grace of God through people that has allowed me to experience what I read about in scripture. So that'd be my take.
Yeah, awesome. And it, you know, it's kind of interesting how you say quote unquote church music, and I was kind of using the term that you brought up earlier, but do you not like to put that label like on yourself, like Christian artist?
Well, that stuff gets a little complicated. It's all just language, you know. It's like it helps us understand what we're talking about. So anything that helps another person understand what it is that I'm doing or whatever is great. I tend to think of what I'm doing as liturgical in its orientation. I'm trying to help people, a group of people, get together and use music to reorient, you know, ourselves to what God's done and His activity, remind us of things like that. The grace extends beyond your failure, and that's what we're called to do, is to show grace, to show love. And that's just a counter-cultural idea. We're usually like, you know, pick sides, and most of the time it's your side, it's yourself that you're fighting for most of the time, and selflessness and all that other stuff, that's just like foreign to what we are programmed to be and do, because it's counter-cultural. And so whatever language works to help describe what it is I'm up to, I'm game for. But language is funny, and it can convolute more than it helps sometimes.
Yeah, speaking of like language and labels, so I hear about this, I think, with gospel artists, and it seems like they're under a lot of pressure with like the different perceptions of what a gospel artist or a Christian artist is supposed to be. Are they making their songs catchy enough, but are they not going, like, do they have to make sure they're not too secular? And I was kind of wondering if you feel that same sort of pressure sometimes.
Let me say, for me, again, I think I've just been given wonderful people that are part of my team that helps me make music and get music out, and it kind of just like, Crowder, do your thing, and we'll see what we can do with it at the end of the day. So I've got to get to be, I've never really had a lot of constraint on, so it's all my fault is what I guess I should say. I haven't felt a lot of pressure to do something specific. It's, and that's an absolute wonderful joy, but it is absolutely a thing that if you're, and it happens in pop music too, you know, it's like, should I make my record more like the last one, or am I supposed to do something different, or like now the sounds have moved this way, am I supposed to follow that trend, or am I supposed to... So it's complicated to make art if you've got a box that you're trying to shoot for, you know? That's just it's a tough thing for anybody creating and making any type of film or art or music, and it's definitely the case within the church as well. To try to hit your demographic that you're trying to make have a voice to and for, and then at the same time wanting that voice to broaden, it can be a delicate thing.
Yeah, I thought that was well said. And, you know, for folks who aren't familiar with your background, kind of take us back to Texas growing up when you were learning piano and guitar and playing in church. Like, you know, kind of give us an overview of your backstory.
Absolutely. My parents were... It's East Texas, so Texarkana, Texas was where I was born and raised. It's a unique place because half of it's in Arkansas, half of it's in Texas. It's split by State Line Avenue. And so I was barely on the Texas side of things. And great Christian, like they're super devout in their faith. My parents are amazing people. I had a younger brother, and he now lives in Boulder, Colorado, and I'm pretty jealous that he's staring at mountains every day, but he's an amazing dude too. And so it's a really great family life that I grew up in, and church was a part of all of it. And once I was tall enough to reach the piano, the piano was in the house, nobody really played it, but I was told not to touch it. When you tell a little kid not to touch something, that's the only thing I can think of to touch. And so eventually I was, you know, banging on the piano and getting scolded. And then all of a sudden my mom noticed she was recognizing a few of the tunes that the little kid was banging out. And so she thought, well, let's get the kid some lessons. And I hated him the whole time, but I'm glad she did, because I wound up falling in love with music. And by the time I hit college, I was just going to study music for fun, because my dad owned an insurance agency back in Texarkana, and I thought he was the coolest dude on the planet, and I wanted to work for him and then take over the family practice, because he was like living the dream. Had wood paneled walls with a waterfall wallpaper scene behind him, and he's just got that phone receiver cocked on his neck while he's typing on the computer. I'm like, this dude is doing it. And so I thought, that's what I want to be. And I was just, if I could take an insurance exam and pass it, I was in with that nepotistic hookup. So I thought music would be fun to study. It's not fun to study. It's like you never see any of your friends. You're stuck in a practice room for hours on end. It smells bad. And so that was not what I thought it was going to be. But while I was at school studying music, a friend of mine started a church and said, hey, man, Crowder, can you help with the music portion of our Sunday morning gatherings? And I was like, that's a terrible idea. But he talked me into it. And so that's where it started, was just trying to help corral college kids to show up for rehearsals and play what they were told to play. And then eventually, about a year in, I started writing songs, because it was really hard to find something that fit the collegiate moment. You know, everybody's listening to college radio, and there was nothing I could find that would fit our ear and feel authentic to us. So I first started just kind of reworking old hymns, and then moved on to writing stuff that was really just kind of what we were experiencing as a community together in that little church in Waco. So that was, went to school at Baylor is where I wound up in Waco, Texas, and then moved to Atlanta, Georgia about 5 years ago now.
Yeah.
And still doing the same thing.
And doing it really well. I mean, you've had, you know, success with the David Crowder Band, and now your own solo success, and, you know, receiving, you know, number one hits and on the chart. So it's really cool. Did you ever have any hesitation about stepping out on your own?
Oh, yes. Oh, goodness, yes. It was a pleasure to share the blame with other people. It's like blame displacement was a gift. So I don't think I really got nervous until I finished and turned in the first album of this solo journey. And once it was done and I was like, uh-oh, it's out the door, then I got super nervous. I was like, this could have been a really, really bad idea. But it was, thank goodness people were responding, because it was pretty different and a different lane than I had been in. And it was just kind of, all of my music is, like you said, pretty eclectic. So it's, I don't know how anybody else likes it, because it seems very specific to my tastes. And so I guess there's a lot of people that, as I said, have probably had a similar experience of life and listening, and I'm glad that it's resonating with others.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we are definitely, as I said before, looking forward to seeing what you do live. And congratulations on everything. And this has been a great chat with you. Yeah. And I think
I appreciate you including me.
Of course. Yeah. So is there anything else that you felt you didn't get a chance to say?
Oh, no. I'm just hoping to help support our little stop there. can't wait to get. We love Columbus. Has like when we first started traveling as a band and weren't getting booked like everywhere. Columbus was like our favorite stop because we would hang at the Easton Mall because it had like everything. And so it was like, yes, we're stopping in Columbus at the Easton Mall. We'll get the Cheesecake Factory. Eat. It's gonna be great. So I like Columbus. I got some fond memories there.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you can make another stop at Easton when you come in.
Totally. Be a real treat.
Yeah.
All right. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you, David.
Bye.
Bye.
And thank you all for listening to Life in the 614. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Google Play Music. We hope to have you back next week. Until then, keep enjoying your own life in the 614.